Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. This show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. We'll introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guests, I want you to know that I am grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to or watch this show. And if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your family. Now, I have a quote, although not from the journal, it is from today's guest. Embracing fear isn't about being fearless. That leads to recklessness and complacency. It's about learning how to mitigate risk. So that will give you a little bit of insight into the topic that we're going to be going into, because the topic is strength and reinvention. And our guest's new book is The Eagle and the Dragon. Now, for all of you watching or listening, are you ready to walk through the fire and make your vision a reality? Because our guest, Chris Duffin, is the co-founder and co-engineer at Kabuki Strength, an organization devoted to optimizing human performance and making the world a better place through strength and so much more. So talk about a perfect person for this show, right? So anyway, he previously worked as a corporate executive and has turned around the automotive, aerospace, heavy equipment, and high-tech manufacturing industries. Chris was previously ranked number one in the world in various powerlifting disciplines and has held numerous world records. Now retired, he is known for his industry-changing innovations and education in the strength and clinical worlds. He is a leading speaker on topics related to strength and human movement and performs insane feats of strength to help charities and organizations whose work he truly believes in. Chris, welcome to Answers Network.
Looking forward to having some good discussion today.
All right. Well, it is my pleasure to have you. And as I said, I feel like you're such a perfect fit for this show. And I think I'd like to start with, for the people that don't know you, talk a little bit about your background and what brought you to this. Because I know in your book, you talk about growing up homeless and taking care of your siblings. How did this experience shape your life and bring you to the man you are now?
It taught me a lot about the fundamentals of what resilience is and how we define ourselves as individuals based on, what's happened to us versus our actions and reactions to things. Because we can't change the things that come at you in life. And I don't want to, be inconsequential towards, somebody that's gone through trauma and things like that. But we can use things as an opportunity to springboard and become a more resilient version of ourselves. And so my story is a great way of articulating that. I grew up homeless, like in the wilderness, where we were foraging for food, killing animals. The quote that you spoke was one from the first chapter where I'm talking about, 6 years old, we're living in essentially tree forts. There's no roads into where we're at. There's rattlesnake dens all around. And at 6 years old, I'm being taught how to capture and handle live rattlesnakes, right? So I'm sitting there with a rattlesnake in my hand. Can you imagine that? You're pinching it right between back of the jaws, between your pointer finger and your thumb, so you can control its mouth.
Right.
And you know, it's wrapping around your arm. You can feel that. And that snake wants nothing in the world but to kill you. Like, right. That is it. It's its point. It's any. And so you start kind of really capturing some of these lessons early on around handling fear, things of that nature. But in this upbringing, in that type of environment, there's a lot of unsavory characters that if you're wanting to live away from society, like my parents chose to do and try to figure out how to make ends meet and not be part of society, there's other people out there that are not there for good reasons or people preying upon them. So over the course of my upbringing, I dealt with, obviously, a lot of drug addiction and alcohol addiction around me, drug running, murderers. There was a serial killer I had to deal with, or human trafficking that ended up affecting the family, myself, things of that nature. And some pretty crazy stories around the scope of that without diving into too much detail, okay? And I left that environment and ended up putting myself through school for a dual engineering degree. And while doing that, took custody of my three younger sisters because the environment had gotten even worse and really, you know, untenable for them to be able to grow to adulthood safely. And so I raised them while I was going through school, working on my MBA, working full time, obviously, during the course of this, because I had no fallback plan in life. There's no room to go home to, no couch to crack. Like, there's no option for failure. And so I moved from that to kind of growing, which was into this leadership role, which was a little strange because I grew up, you know, with very little social interaction and a lot of self-confidence and other stuff issues as it relates to that. But ended up finding that I connected with people pretty well and somehow was a pretty effective leader. And I grew into this executive level person that was hired to come in and turn around companies, maybe prep a company for sale, walk it through the process. And I did that. So I was in that career for about 20 years and I was doing what I was meant to do with my life. Like this is that first half of the book is about the eagle. It's this discovery of what your potential is, what you're capable of, and flying to whatever heights that you can. But the second half of the book is more of a purposeful piece. It's this deciding specifically who you want to be and becoming that person, which is the dragon, the Ouroboros, the continual renewal, and again, in my definition, the purposeful reinvention of oneself. And so I walked away from all that. I walked away from my career. I was a top level lifter. I was ranked number one in the world for like 8 years. I quit competitive lifting. I made a lot of personal changes, including I left my wife at the time. There's reasons for all these things. And went out, leveraged everything that I had, sold my property, lost everything, you know, to start my businesses, which is Kabuki Strength, Barefoot Athletics, and Build Fast Formula. And over the course of the next 5 years, built a globally recognized brand, built around these principles of resilience. And those, they're physical, but for me, and this is why I wrote The Eagle and the Dragon, it's three things. It's resilience of body, mind, and soul.
And, you know, one of the things that I love is that you overcame a lot of obstacles and you were able to do this. But when it came time for you to make a difference, you weren't just worried about making a difference in yourself. It sounds like you focused on how can I now make a difference in the lives of others? What do you think brought on that transformation?
Well, I think early on, it was just being in that survivor mentality. Like, I was there. I didn't have much of a childhood because I was taking care of my sisters very early while my parents were out tending the crops when they were growing weed in the remote parts of Northern California, and later while they were cutting wood and mining when they lost us for a while to the state, and when they got us back, they got out of the drug trade. But later it became this thing when I was in the business world, and, you know, I owned a gym and was competing on this side. In both those environments, I found the greatest satisfaction, and this is how I brought about the organizational change. It's not some fancy restructuring strategy or business philosophy. Yeah, you use those all as tools and things, but like it's one person at a time. It's connecting with a person and getting them to be able to take this step, the step into the unknown, to challenge themselves, to step into that unknown, that area of fear, right? Mm-hmm. But something that also excites them and allows them the opportunity to see what they're capable of and bring this engagement into their work, into their life, right? And that is, you know, you do that one person at a time, that starts bringing about truly organizational change. That's how you fundamentally take a company that's failing, going to lose its contract with Boeing and shutter its doors to being the number one performer in the world for quality and delivery from being on, like, going to lose business because of those metrics. That's how you do those sorts of things. That's how you build a like I said, a globally recognized brand. When I say that, I'm not like over speaking here. We're used by 90% of the professional sports teams in North America. That's in 5 years. Mm-hmm. 29 of the 30 major league baseball teams. That's who we work with. We work with the best of the best across major Marvel Studios. Their stuntmen and actors are using our stuff right now. The people filming Black Adam, The Rock has 8 of our bars. They're in all the different locations, you know, LeBron and the rest of the starting. Anyway, yes. That's how you do this stuff is. And that's what got me, you know, I'm sitting there chasing world records, but it was more powerful for me to produce some content, put it online and have people around the globe reach out and say, you just changed my life. I've been in pain for the last 6 months, been unable, you know, questioning myself, just really struggling mentally. And now I'm out of back pain. I went in the gym and I just hit my old max for a triple with no pain just by putting this stuff in. And then coaching people personally that were in the gym that, you know, I'm training around. These sorts of things, like that's just having those experiences continue to build and go, this is what I'm meant to do with my life, mm-hmm. is to help people understand how to use, you know, that these things that sometimes if it's too much or the wrong way, it breaks us down, right? But it can also be the things, in fact, it's the thing, if we look at it from a human physiology standpoint, and I'm going to take this analogy farther than human physiology, but and this refers, I'm going to give you some physical examples. But it refers to everything, body, mind, and soul, right? Resilience. You do not grow if you do not have challenge. If you do not have stress, if you do not have something to adapt to, the process of dying starts. This trying to find comfort in life, the lack of conflict, the beach in the Caribbean to retire to, that is when things end. And so here's, you walk into a gym, you do some curls. Your arm, when you come back, if you keep doing that a couple times a week, your arm's going to get more resilient. It's going to be able to handle bigger stressors, bigger loads, things in the future that if they came at you now would break you. And if you're not prepared, let's say you break your arm, you put it in a cast. What happens? The process of atrophy starts immediately. So let's take this beyond that. Let's put it, go plant a tree in like the biodome, a protected environment that is, you know, it's going to show us what happens when the world around us doesn't, you know, like have an impact on it. You know what's going to happen? That tree's going to grow to a certain height. Doesn't matter what kind it is. It'll grow to the same height and it'll fall over and die.
Wow.
And of course, why? It took scientists a while to figure it out. Well, it didn't have wind hitting it and buffering it, telling the tree to grow the roots thick and strong and wide and build that resilience, that strength. It didn't have the elements hammering it, going, grow some thick bark to withstand that. And so it literally killed itself because it didn't have the. So it's like this in every aspect of our life. We do not grow. So in the physical world, we call it specific adaptation to impose demand. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. Like if you don't have, you know, the challenges in your life, you will get soft, just like your arm will atrophy. Yep. If you don't take the challenges. If you don't see the things, those opportunities, like I said, this is how you bring about engagement and organizational change one person at a time, is getting people to realize that when they get that twist, that thing in their gut that goes, I'm scared, I've got anxiety, but it kind of, there's some excitement there. And you think, well, those are big things in your life, like the leaving home, the going to school, the starting a relationship, the growing of a relationship, the having a kid. But once we get beyond these biological drivers, if we don't have the internal impetus to do this, it may be going back to school. It may be starting a new career. It may be having a conversation with a family member, a coworker, a boss, your partner. Mm-hmm. It could be all these sorts of things. Every time you get that twist in your gut, that's your signal to say, there's an opportunity right now to be more, to grow, to add some resilience. It's going to be a little tough, just like any workout you go into the gym. But what happens? You feel better when you're done with it. You're like, man, I made some progress. I feel good. And you know what? Next time I'm not going to be scared of that. I can handle that. I can do it again. In fact, now let's take it a little bit farther, right? Mm-hmm. And that is, these are the lessons that we learn if you go to the gym, but you start thinking about applying those to rest of your life.
Yeah, we have a listener that is sent in a question. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this. But I think this goes to what you're saying, is that it is more than just the physical thing. It is the mental determination that gets you to that point to begin with. And this one reads, Mr. Duffin, once I saw the press release that you were going to be on Answers, I ordered your book. I am very moved by your story, and I believe that overcoming dramatic issues in one's life can lead an entire family to a transformation. My husband became addicted to cocaine 8 years ago, and it almost destroyed our family. Thankfully, he cared more about me and our two sons than the substance. Because of the steps he needed to take in his addiction recovery, we all began eating healthier, exercising, and spending time as a family, often outdoors, to support him. In retrospect, I think he saved us from all of the horrors of modern living. We are sharing your book with several of our friends and family who need a little inspirational reading. Thanks so much for writing such a great book. We loved it. And this is from Gracie in Arizona.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Gracie, for reading the book. I think a lot of people think they look at it and think it's a book about lifting because I've lifted big weights or whatever. And it's, I think I got like 3 pages where I touch on like my physical accomplishments in that. But another piece from that, though, is really understanding, once you start on this process, is now it's like, where do I go? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I really try to drive people on, is this introspective process of really understanding these root things that core values is a word that gets overused a lot. So I hate using it because people think it's like some writing on the wall and doesn't mean anything, but it can be a truly incredible, powerful thing to define what your values are and your North Star. And everybody wants to jump to this goal setting piece. They look at, oh, you've done this, that. How do you set your goals? And how do you accomplish goals? And it's like, you can't, a bucket list is crap. All these, excuse my language, but you need to sit back and ask yourself, why do you want the things that you want? And keep just driving deeper and deeper and really chase them. I like chasing a dichotomy of extremes. I really believe that you find the best balance through extremes, because that helps you really find what your values are, because the fluff has to drop away. So this process of continually asking yourself and then chasing the things that you do know, because as you do that, you'll create this beautiful thing in the middle. And you, when you chase things that people tell you, you can't have work, it's a balance between work and family. It's a balance between strength and mobility. And every time you do one on the one side, it's going to take away from the other. But if you chase those, you can actually achieve so much more in the center, right? And my point being, though, is you got to get to this, where are you going? Why do you want the things that you want in life? So it doesn't matter what it is. No, I want to be an NFL star. I want to have a fancy mansion and a nice car. I want to, like, why do you want these things? And you're going to dig until you get things. And I'll give you some examples of mine, sure. Right? For me, challenge, competition, you could sum a lot of different things in there, words that you could use, but I have to have that in my life. Like, I am a very competitive person. I need that. Right. And, you know, something that may not be pleasant to say or whatever, but recognition, I like to be recognized for those things. Like, if I create something that nobody's done before, or there's my, right there, there's my Guinness World Record on the wall behind me over there. There's a scientific achievement award from Oregon Institute of Technology. There's, like, I'm proud of those things.
Sure.
But I need security. Like, and that works kind of counter to those other ones. But given my upbringing, you could understand where that comes from. I want to make sure that I've got ability to take care of my family. But the creativity, I've got to have a creative outlet, continual learning. Right. So these are never things I can have. Yeah. They're ways of living. And now I can set goals that will help me realize a life that lives those. And so the security example, I use this in my book. So if you just focus on, like, what all the, I call it hustle porn, but all the people out there selling motivational stuff is the grind, the 24/7, that, yeah, you got to work hard, but, like, for a reason, why, what, whatever. They always say, oh, get your house, get your car. You're going to get your jet. You're going to blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. What if, like, the underlying reason that you want those things is security and you don't realize that? You could over leverage yourself to get those things and actually move backwards and be and cause a lot of mental and emotional anguish and not even know why. Or the NFL star, you don't know why you want that. And you get taken out, maybe on a random Sunday flag football game with some friends, lose a knee. And now what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you come to the end of your career? And we see so many athletes that get there and they fall into depression. They get, like, their fit, everything disappears because that was one thing, but they didn't realize what was the driver. And you can actually find so many different ways to realize the same things if you understand that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point is that what's the why behind it? You know, we have all of these things, but what is your why? And when you were saying that, I was thinking of a story. And it was a man that I was on the island of Rhodes in Greece, and I was talking to a man that had a very small vineyard there, and he was making wine, and he was having me taste it because it didn't have sulfates in it, and he was telling us how great it was. And one of the other guys that was with us immediately looked at the guy and he said, "Hey, I got this great idea." He said, "Look, I can do, I can make your business bigger, and I can do this, and I can now set it up to where you can be selling this all over the world." And he went through all of these things, and the man that was making the wine said, "Why?" And he said, "Because," he goes, "then you're going to be richer and you're going to be able to go anywhere you want and stuff." And he goes, "Like where?" And he goes, "Well, you could go to, like, any island you wanted and live in peace." He goes, "I already am."
Exactly. Yeah.
I love this guy, but it was like, I already am. Why do I want to do that? Yeah. He didn't want to take on, you know, all of that work and stress and everything when he already found his place that he was comfortable in.
And that's for me, like, I don't need those other things. Like, what do I want to do? Like, everything that I want to do in my life is part of my work. Like, people ask me, what's my job? And I'm like, well, it's to be me. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, that's really it. Like, I get up, I talk about the things I want. When I want to go work on my creative products, design products, work on just building a vehicle from scratch, doing what, like, that's all, like, it all fits into the things that I like. It's not about the money. And then I'm doing the things, like, I have a team that helps. We guide people and change people's lives through getting them out of pain and living a better quality of life. And we invent products that do this around the globe. Like, this is, my work isn't work. Like,
you're making a difference.
It's my life.
Well, and when you said that about being you, it actually, there was one of the things that I wanted to ask in regards to that, because I've heard you refer to yourself as the chief visionary officer at Kabuki Strength. I love that. I mean, that to me is like, that's my goal. That would be the position that I would want to be in. So, but share with us about the people that you surround yourself with that allows you to focus on your vision. Because I think a lot of us would like to be in that position, but if we don't have those people around us, yeah, it's not going to work.
So I mentioned a story earlier. I said something that could be taken negatively, and that was about changing my life. I also left my wife in the process, right? Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship. She's an amazing friend, bought her a house that's literally half a mile away from mine. And kids back and forth. I've remarried, have an amazing woman in my life, got a third child now, and got an amazing family. Everything, it's really freaking, I found love at like 40 years old. And I didn't realize those things in books and movies was real. I always thought it was just, you find somebody, you get comfortable, you do your thing. And man, that just changed my life, right? Well, the way I found her is the same way I have this incredible team here. I mean, I have it just this rock star, the best. Like I said, I've had high level positions for a long time. My business partner, co-founder of Kabuki Strength, he's 72 years old, by the way. He deadlifts 550 pounds, squats close to 500, benches over 300, as 198-pound 72-year-old. Nobody in history has ever done this stuff. He's the oldest 21-year-old I know because he is so mentally acute. Guess what? He's our CEO. He runs the organization, does everything, because I'm not as a chief visionary. I actually have no employees and no technical authority outside of, you know, owning majority stake of the company. But that people always get confused. They reach out to me, hey, can you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't do that. I can connect you. And they're like, but you're the CEO. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, just because I founded it and I have like, people get really confused.
Yeah, you tell me you're the CEO.
I'm like, I'm the visionary. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, the team though. And how you do this is, it is about living your authentic self, living your values, doing what you want to do in the world and saying what you want to do and actually doing it, right? And you will start to draw people like a magnet that have those same interests, that want to be part of it. I'm the visionary. It's Kabuki Strength, not Chris Duffin, because I want to be part of a team that changes the face of fitness and its integration all the way through clinical care and helps people live a better quality of life by integrating all these things together in a cohesive system. One person can't do that. And so we attract people. We don't hire employees. We attract people that want to be part of this team and do what we're doing, not be an accountant, not be a, right? And if you do that, you will have such an empowered, passionate team. It's Memorial Day, right?
Yes.
I just rolled into, we've got three buildings here encompassing about 40,000 square feet. And I rolled into, I left all my podcasting gear in the office. I rolled in and there's cars parked in front of all three buildings. Everybody has today off and everybody's paid for today regardless, but there's people in working in all three buildings right now because they are passionate about what they're doing. They've got something exciting for them that they're in here working on it right now. And nobody's asked them to. In fact, they've been asked not to. And it's the same way. That's how I found I this magnet, and I drew somebody into my life that I never knew was out there. And it's creates such potential, and people love to bash millennials, by the way, because of whatever you could put all the stereotypes out there. But let me tell you, you want people that want to get behind something and believe in something, and they will do so much more when it truly ties to that value proposition. We're not talking financial value, but we're talking to their personal values. And it's not a marketing or motivational scheme. Like, you've got to live it and breathe it, but you do it And you can create such a huge, passionate group of people. And we're not talking yes people, by the way. So people get really confused in the social media world of like, fuck the hater. Sorry. The haters and all this and that. You need people that will challenge you, that will step up and say, they've got the same, you want to be in the same end result, but you're going to have some impassioned. Like I said, I mentioned the thing about conflict earlier with intent, right? Because conflict can be very good. It can be painful, but it can produce some amazing things. And you don't want, you know, when you're trying to find those, you know, look at your life and who's involved with it. It's not necessarily the people that are questioning you are the ones that you need to evaluate. It's why they're questioning. What's the intent? What's the behaviors? What's that? There's so much more to it, right? Because maybe they want more from you. Maybe they expect more of you. Maybe there's another way to look at things than you thought about, and a better way to get there. And so anyway, I'm on a little bit of a tangent here, but it's highly related. And I see this misconstrued, especially in like the social media world, where it's, you know, the F the haters mentality. It is, it's just, there's just so much misinterpretation there around some of these concepts.
We are speaking with Chris Duffin of Kabuki Strength. His book is The Eagle and the Dragon. And so, Chris, before we go to break, one of my favorite quotes by you, which I believe is more important today than ever, is, I am not a victim of my circumstances. I choose to be the person I am today. I created a vision of the man I am, and I took action to become that person. When we come back from break, well, first of all, I would like to see that quote taught in every school in the world. Okay. You know, we need to start with our young people, and they need to start with that vision. But when we come back from the break, I'd like you to talk a little bit more on that subject, because I think there's a lot of parents out there that are, you know, they're struggling with how to raise their children today. And I think that starting with that quote, and kind of going off from there, I would like to talk more about it. So again, for everybody out there, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network. And when we went to break, and we're speaking with Chris Duffin, and when we went to break, I asked Chris, in regards to one of his quotes about not being a victim of his circumstances. So, Chris, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's really prevalent today, and maybe through time. I mean, I only have my own life experiences to go off of, but if you ask somebody who they are, they will tell you, especially if it's coming into the gym, I'm the guy in back pain and I'm going to be in pain for the rest of my life. I'm the person that am this way because I was raised by alcoholic parents. I am this, and it's this definition centers around these things that happen to them. And I don't want to take away from, you know, those things that have happened to you. But at the same time, we need to switch that. We need to switch it to you're defined not by those things, but by your actions and responses to what's happened to you in life, right? And then we can take that a step further in going, okay, I want to take that, and that's where the quote is related to, like deciding specifically who you want to be in this world and becoming that version of yourself. So that, and that ties back to a lot of things. There's, you got to have your values, you got to have your North Star, and then you also have to, you know, it's beyond the fairy tale land of here's my dream. Like, you've got to every day put one step in front of the net of another, moving that direction, knowing that it's going to be maybe significant time, mm-hmm. a year, 5 years, a decade, multiple decades. It doesn't, like, it depends on how big and gnarly what you've got in front of you is going to be. Being able to celebrate and know one step in front of the next. So this is why we talked about values and goal setting a little bit earlier. It's so important to have that, because if you don't have that definition, you could walk to the side for a couple of years, like doing stuff, being super busy. And humans, we do this naturally. If you're stressed out, we make lists, we start knocking stuff out. We get to, I'm doing so much, but it may not be anything towards this person that you, this where and how you want to live. And that one step, it's just one little step. You won't even see or feel that day, that week, that month. But if you consistently take those steps one after another, next thing you know, you'll turn around and look back and go, I just moved a mile towards that North Star. You're never going to get there. It's all about getting closer to that, right? And so understanding these things, like, and the scope, I know this because I grew up with nothing, you know, living in a tent, living in a tree fort, you know, killing porcupines, fishing in the stream off of some grasshoppers I caught in the in the field next to it, you know. So that when the family gets home from mining for the day, we've got some dinner. To doing some of the things that I've done in my life. And that's a big, big, big scope. And yeah, there's a lot of people that are way more successful than me, and that's fine. It depends on how you define successful. I live exactly the way I want to live, which makes me freaking a millionaire.
I was going to say, well, that is the most success right there. And just like the man with the small winery in the island of Rhodes, he is exactly where he wants to be, which makes him perfectly successful.
Yeah. So to answer your question, when it comes to parenting, it's helping your child realize walking and living that life yourself. So from a parenting aspect, so many people divest themselves to just being everything is all about the child, and they quit living their own life. Mm-hmm. And what example is that's going to set for your kid? Do you want your kid to only be, they get out of high school and they live from 18 to 25 and have a child, and then they quit doing anything that they want, like that they quit trying to live their dream and create it? Like, I can get up and talk fancy talks and do motivational and try to inspire people, but nothing is going to have a greater impact on my children to show them that they can shape the world around them than them seeing me do that every day, and yet still being there for them and being a great parent. Because if I'm engaged in one area of my life, I'm going to be engaged in those areas as well. You see so many people that lack engagement in their work, their physical life, and they go home and they're only half-assing it, watching the game, drinking a beer, and just like, so those are a couple ways. Another is how to build confidence. Like, I've done some pretty phenomenal things in my life, and I'm a recognized leader in so many different areas. And people ask, how did you do that? And it's confidence. It's confidence to know that I can go in there. It's like I decided I was going to make a transition in my life from this engineering and business expertise and fine-tuning businesses. I was definitely an expert in this area and sought after that to human biomechanics. I'm like, do I go back to school and get a PhD? And I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. But I'll know I've moved far enough in that direction when I'm lecturing to lecturing to doctors with 100 plus people in the audience. 9 months later, I'm sitting there lecturing to 150 clinicians. Okay. That takes confidence, but how do you build confidence? And confidence isn't like, it's failing, but then going, I can come back and do this, right? And then working harder, trying harder, not winning the game, not being the fastest in the race, not having the greatest grades, but then being able to double down and come back, see where the gaps were, and then go and win, then go and do better. May not be winning, but knowing that, and we miss that a lot. And I know the trophy everything, kind of everybody loves to rant against that, but that is kind of part of it, right? Like, you need to be able to fail, but know that failure doesn't define you. Right. Your action responses do. What do? Okay, I wasn't good enough to get whatever it was that I wanted, but I've got confidence in myself that I can learn from that. I can assess those gaps. I can come back and work harder and learn more and come back and accomplish this. Right.
Well, and exactly. But, but as you're talking to parents, that's another reason why speaking directly to the parents, that's why you don't do it for them.
Absolutely.
This is the other issue that drives me crazy. It's like, oh no, that's okay. We'll just do it for you. No, they're never going to learn.
Absolutely. You've got to let, that's the whole point. Like, you have to let them fail and then guide them on, okay, now here's what you can't. And then, maybe it's a little push or whatever, but they've got to step up. But once you start now getting those wins, that builds the confidence, right? Exactly. And they know they did it, right? Mm-hmm. And over time, the more wins you stack up, that's where we, again, what does this sound like? The process of building resilience?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, yeah. Strength. Kabuki. Like, it
comes back together.
This is the whole process, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different gaps there, and it's all these different concepts kind of coming together in a different manner.
And when you mentioned time, and I don't know about you, but time for me, and I have a couple of semesters on you age-wise, I think. So time appears to have sped up, okay, at least for me as I've gotten older. How do you make time to continue to expand your businesses and still maintain your family life as a husband and a father?
Yeah. So this comes down through what I call, again, I just touched on it, but the balance through extremes.
Okay.
So it is cutting out the fluff. It is, there's a bit of a three-step process I have to this as a whole. And this comes into, people who are like, when I did turnaround work, they're like, okay, when I hire you, what are you going to do? What's the first thing? Mm-hmm. Nothing. What do you mean? Because I'd be taking over for somebody that was working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, running around with their hair. Like, it wasn't for lack of effort or want or any of these sorts of things. Sure. They were getting a lot of shit done, right? But was it the right things, right? Was it the things that are really adding value? And if we start cutting out that stuff in life, you'll find that you create so much more time. And so people, anybody that follows me on social media, I constantly get asked about time management. Mm-hmm. Because they see, like, oh my God, you build, performance race, off-road race vehicles from the ground up, like design everything, the axles, the suspension, like have squatted and deadlifted more than anybody in the world. You've founded businesses. You, like, it's always something, like, there's all these big, best-selling author. I'm working on another book. There's a movie in process. I'm like, where's the time in the day? How much do you sleep? Let me check my sleep. Last night wasn't a great night, but time in bed, 9.5 hours. Okay.
Wow.
I sleep 9 hours to 10 hours every single night. Okay. I'm terrible at time management. I'm able to spend about 4 hours more a day now with my family than I did when I was chasing my corporate career, and I work harder than I've ever worked in my life. Okay.
Okay.
How does that How does that add up? Right. And so it's, again, I'm going to walk through the 3-step process, but also push people to, and I've got a great video on this balance through the extreme. So you follow me on social media. You don't need to remember my avatars. Just type Chris Duff in Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever's your favorite, right? Duffin, like muffin, but with a D. Okay. I'll pop up. Got a little blue checky thing in most of those. Anyway, it's not hard. You can Google me, whatever. Anyway, balance through the extremes. It is just that. So in this prior life, I was a corporate executive. I was training as a World Cup athlete. I owned a gym, was training athletes. I design and build fabricated engineered projects as a hobby. I spend a lot of time with that. I got 2 kids. I'm raising them. They're starting to get a little bit older, starting to go to school. I realize sports and stuff's coming. Like something's got to give, right? Mm-hmm. So it was also at the time of the introspection about my life and other stuff. But I'm like, man, I don't have time for all this in my life, right? Family, well, that not going to make any changes and reduce, and you know, okay. Lifting, that actually is pretty damn important to me. So I'm going to keep that on the plate. And actually, I've got to have my creative outlets or I go in career. That one's got to go. I'm going to quit my job, right? Makes obvious sense. And, but I talked about how I've built it around being me. So I'm able to chase that further, yet spend more time with my family and yet accomplish way more in the world all at the same time, because now all the other things like my creative outlets, my personal outlets, because guess who came in? The people with the same shared values, the people that I've worked with, they're now employees, it's all these things start gelling together and creating time. But walking into a business and doing a turnaround, okay? 3-step process is, number one, just don't do anything, okay? All right? This is related to the Japanese philosophy called 5S, and it's workplace organization stuff. I'm not going to go into detail, but the first step is you remove everything from a workspace. So imagine your kitchen.
Yeah.
How do I get more efficient in my kitchen? I'm going to take everything completely out so you can't do your job. And now when it comes to, okay, I need to I need to cook an egg. Well, I got to have a saute pan. Let's bring that in. Okay. Now, where do I put the saute pan to be so right there? So I take no time finding it. It's right at a hand step. It goes in place, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start finding, okay. And now, okay, maybe here's another subset of what my work would do. Maybe that's on a quick change cart that rolls in just when I need it. And then it goes back away, right? But you'll find that there's so many cluttered drawers, all this stuff. You didn't need all this stuff.
Exactly.
And it actually is slowing you down and cluttering your life and doing, and you'd be surprised at how many emails you don't need to answer, phone calls. By the way, I don't answer the phone. and I'll figure out a way. I don't check mail. People find that frustrating. Maybe like twice a year, I'll go through the mail. Usually maybe I'll find a check or something in there that's value, but most of the time it's just wasted nonsense. Okay. I'm not suggesting you do any of these things. Yeah. This works for me. But my point being, you'll find that so much of your life is filled with things that you're making yourself busy that don't need to be done.
Exactly.
And then step number two, if you can't do that, figure out how to automate it. How do I make this simple personal life? Well, you know, just like go set up freaking bill pay. You cut out the checking the mail process. You cut out the writing the check process. You cut out like all this sorts of stuff. But you can take this to a lot of things in your life, right? And then the last one, not everybody's in a position where you can delegate, but maybe it's outsource or something of that nature. There's so many tasks that you can, you know, just on your computer every day, I go do this, this, and this, and this. You can usually automate these things, right? So 3-step process. Number one, just don't do it. And if it's important, it'll come back and then you'll learn, oh, that, I guess I got to do laundry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. that one's on the list, right? But okay, can I automate it? Well, I used to have my laundry on the bottom floor of my 3-story home. And so I moved it all the way up right next to everybody's bedrooms, right? So it's a quick right to the hamper into the laundry. Okay. And then last one, delegate or outsource. So
yeah, delegate or outsource. We have a question that's coming in. But at the same time, we're kind of out of time, but we have a question coming in. So I want to get this out there, and maybe you can give them a little piece of information, or they can get in touch with you if you get more of an answer. But this one reads, my dad was quite buff all the way into his mid-40s until he was in a car accident. He had a broken left femur, left arm, and a few ribs. Took months to heal, which left him with some residual mobility issues and an additional 30 pounds. I've been trying to inspire him to get back into his weightlifting, but I think he is worried that he'll never regain his body shape or strength the way that he was 4 years ago. Would your book be one that would help him get out of the slump he is in? His birthday is coming up, and I thought I'd get your book, that it might help him and be a great gift. This is from Brandon in Connecticut.
All right. So my book would be great from an inspirational or motivational side of it. Now, mm-hmm. to actually have an impact and understand that these things can really have he can work through this. We produce content every single day for free on our social media channels. So not necessarily mine, but you go to Kabuki Virtual Coaching, or go to that on the website, and you can find the YouTube. We've got an indexed video library for like $11 a month or something. But we work on this return to play. We've got clinicians in-house. We have a very unique method. So look at the Kabuki Advisory Board. I have the industry leading advisory board of people, the leading spine biomechanist in the world, arguably the best physical therapist in the world, one of the best developmental kinesiologists that brought a key curriculum to the United States. Like, the list goes, one of the best orthopedic surgeons. I damaged my back and was unable to, I had to learn to walk again. This was much earlier in my career. I overcame that to be the human that has demonstrated the highest level of strength and spinal control by being the only person that squatted and deadlifted 1,000 pounds and done it for reps with zero back pain. There's significant, reach out to us if you need to. We do coaching of people remotely as well. Kabuki strength. So that's the physical nature of it. The eagle and the dragon is definitely help on the motivation, inspiration piece.
Everybody, he is Chris Duffin. Thank you so much for Chris. I wish we had more time. I know that you have a follow-up to this book. Let's talk and let's see about getting you on, and we'll talk about that one as well. This has been my pleasure. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing for really optimizing people's lives.
Thank you. It's been great.
All right. And for everybody out there, please just be good human beings. Be with us next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.